We are gathered here to worship God's in God's house, worship Him. He's the God of grace and mercy. As Paul writes in the 1 Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 2, he talks to Timothy here and says, my own son, in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it's good to come together in faith. And I pray that you have come in faith and you have come to listen to God's word. We don't all understand God's word the same today. I have a few things I want to bring, and I realize that we don't always understand it the same way, but I pray that you will have an open heart to listen as we often, when I have something or somebody has something and we take and right away we shut it down. We shut it down. But I pray that your heart will be open to God's word as we, meditate here this morning. We sing praises unto God. As we, like I said, I read, God has mercy. He has grace. He has peace. And when Jesus Christ has entered into our heart, there should be peace. And so I pray that there will be peace in your heart today. So as we are going to go to song, but before we do, I would just ask that you would bow your heart for a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we are starting here this morning in the service, we welcome you here. We love you, God, Father. Pray that you would help us to understand your word. Help me, Lord, to speak it in the right way. Then, Lord, I realize that I have a high calling in order to speak of your word. And Lord, may I be able to do it in the right context, Lord, in the right way. Then I know that we fail. But Lord, to me today is a very clear message that I want to speak right. And Lord, help me. And help also everyone here that is here today to understand what you have to say to all of us in this room here today. And so, and also whoever is listening other places. So Father, I pray also for those that are surrounding this house, the outside, people that may not be coming to this house or any other house of God that are gathered together to hear your word. We pray for them that they also will come to the knowledge of truth and that your spirit will also move them in order to have faith in you and have salvation. And so, Lord, we pray also for this province, this country, Canada. We see so many things that are going on as we've seen that the world has been very, very afraid about the sickness, of death of the body. But yet, pray, Lord, that they will be far more afraid of you, God, and tremble before you, that they'll be afraid of eternal death. Lord, as we today, it's when we hear the Spirit, Lord, and I pray that the world will hear the Spirit today, the Holy Spirit, and that they will make a change in life, that they will recognize it is eternal life that what we need to take in, and not just the physical that we live today. Then the grass grows up in the morning and it dies in the evening. And so, Lord, I pray that we will make it an urgency today, even as this congregation here, all of us. And so, Father, again, thank you for your grace and mercy as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll have a couple of songs.
Take your red book and turn to number 153. We'll tarry by the living water.
We'll tarry by the living water, the fountain pure and free.
cometh, number 413.
By the living waters. That was our devotions this morning also, you know, by the waters, what live, where we can live. And so that's the one of the things about for us is to have our salvation and also knowing the time where we're in today. I just this morning, you know, checking a little bit on status and saw, well, a 48-year-old man died. It was an accident, and yet how short is our life? How many of us are over 48 years old and number of us are under? But that isn't the case. But where are we living? In the living waters. And what time are we in? And so I want to go to start off with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read 11 verses there. Paul has just told the Thessalonian church that Jesus is coming in the clouds. He will be returning. And those that had died, they will meet him in the sky and before. And then all those that are still living in him or will be living then will then also join him. And so it's a time where we're going to see that Jesus is going to be returning. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at the beginning, he says, but the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And so we can see here that he's already just continuing onward from chapter 4 and just saying, you know, I really don't need to tell you this, that you know, Jesus is coming, but it will be in a very, you won't know when it is. It's all it is to say, be ready the time when he comes. And so you should know. All of us that know Jesus Christ, all of us will know Jesus is coming and that our bags are packed and that we are ready to meet him in the sky when he does come or when a death comes. So we don't know when that is. It could be any time. And so he says, I really don't need to tell you that. But in verse 3, he says, and when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I did not realize, but I was made aware of it this morning that, You know, there's a big statue that was in New York at the United Nations. Apparently, it's been taken down. But when this thing comes, when you will see that there is peace and safety, because this statue, where it was written on, was the guardian of international peace and safety. So when you see peace and safety coming, do you know what will come? Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travaileth upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So there is a time, a very, very urgency today. We have a huge reason to be on alert of all things. As I also, this last week, I was made aware of that in Revelation chapter 18, 23, all nations will be deceived. All nations. With what? With sorcery. And then I looked up the sorcery word, and then it is in a Greek word, it was pharmakia, which was pharmacy, drugs, and medicine. And I said, wow, all nations, it says. And we look at today in the world, all nations are deceived. All of them. So we today, we have to be so alert on this old thing. And it says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should not overtake you as a thief. I mean, you know, when a thief comes, he comes to steal. He comes to kill. He wants to take something from you. And so we know that that's there. And says, and ye are all children of the light, he said. Everyone awake? If not, then we'll, then should be now. As further he goes on, he says, and ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober, being sober-minded, to think, knowing what God wants from us, or to be where to be, to be sober-minded. He says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. And so we see very clearly the drunkenness that are there. And so we want to be very awake, very aware of all the stuff that's going on. As he says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and of for a helmet the hope of salvation. So he's telling us this salvation. He says, put this on. This breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath. So we realize God has not appointed the Christians to wrath. But he says, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Then he says, wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another with also these, also ye do. So for us, it's very important that we comfort one another with these, because salvation comes only by Jesus Christ. And as we sang the song, you know, by the living waters. But waters are that gives us life. That gives us life. And that we are in this life of Jesus Christ. And that we believe it. That we are in this faith. We so often we see that, you know, we have, you know, the faith is only as deep as a very shallow. But when the day is coming, that we need to be very, very planted deep, the roots going deep, and that we are not surprised by many of the things that are coming. There's many things coming. Many signs already here, and I really want to encourage today that we are not one of those that are not aware of it. We don't have to look far. We don't have to look far. We can see it. And so I really want to encourage today that when we see things coming, and as I said before, that the statue that was there, and it was already, Ezra already there, was there. And I want to go to Daniel chapter 7, and there's a couple of verses I want to read there, 2 to 4. It says, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. And the first one was like a lion and had wings, eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given him. So here we can see already partial of that beast that was put there, partial of that. And then when we turn over to Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, there again further describes this. Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, and he says, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and a dragon. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and a great authority. And so here we can see that what was there already was taken away. But when we see, when peace and safety, when they will say that, then look out. Then we are already in a time, but then be very, very careful where we're at. And so we continually look to the Lord for strength for in the time we are in, continually. We also see the time that in Revelation chapter 6, and I want to read 1 to 7 there, and it also talks about being expensive time coming, which we also have heard much about already. And this is not to frighten people. This is to alarm, not to alarm to a point where we are frightened, but rather that we are alert. We are alert of this. And I saw when the Lamb, verse 1 in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 starting, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and then on the crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they would kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So can you see, first of all, there was a white horse, and then it was the red horse, and then that was taking peace from. And then further he goes on to say in verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a great black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances and in his hand, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. So first of all, it was a difficult time, a very expensive time, what it talks about. And then it further says in verse 8 or 7, I read already, in verse 8 it says, I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. I pray none of us is going to be here when all these things are going to take place. And as he goes on, and the next one here, I want to read that one too. And then it says, and when they had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. And so these were already went through difficult times. They were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, so that we hold the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" So there was terrible times was happening, and so they were just crying out already, saying, "How long are you going to let this go?" And then he says, "And the white horse and white robes were given unto them, unto every one of them." And so here we can see how great a things what's going to happen to the Christians that's going to stay true to the Lord Jesus, that's going to be stay with him. He says, "White robes are given." Right, white robes are given. Then he says, it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until they their fellow servants also of their brethren, that they should be killed as they were, and should be fulfilled. And so, yes, difficult times might be ahead. And what I want to talk about on the second part of the service is that, you know, he's going to start with the church first. The judgment is going to start at the church first. And that's what I want to start off with in the second part of the service. I want to, you know, when we look at this and we see that great difficult times, but we're very much of us, we're very concerned about what our body, but it's not about our body. It's about our soul. That's eternity. And we must learn that eternity, that's what we live for. We don't live for today. Eternity. And yet, we only live one day at a time. And so, before we go to second service, I was asked just that there's a prayer request here for Aaron and Margaret Ham are asking for prayer support. Aaron had a heart attack this week and is in Boundary Trails Health Center being monitored and undergoing tests. Thank you, Margaret Ham. So I would just ask that you would pray for these people, for Aaron and Margaret Ham. So let us just kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 138. Nothing but the blood. Page 138. Let's stand, please.
Thank you for that song. You know, and that's how we are saved, by nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what saves us. And so, and it redeems us from our sins. And so, today, you know, as far as we go here, you know, we are in a church setting. We are in the pews. We're listening. Sometimes I wish that you could speak, you know, you would speak back to me as we realize that that we have a great work as a church. The world's waiting for a light. And a light meaning that, you know, holiness of God. There's so much darkness out there. And this, we see in this country, it's just so much evil. It's a groil to God what's going on. The homosexuality, the divorce, remarriage, the abortion, everything is so rampant going on. And we have transgender, the addictions. It's just almost not to believe. And God is, I believe he's trying to wake even the church up today. And hopefully the church is wakened, is shaken. I know I listened to a man, and he says, you know, this is the year where there will be a shaking, and a shaking of the church. And so that there will be a change. And then I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse, I want to read from 12 to 19. But verse 17 to 19 talks about, you know, the judgment that will be coming. But it must begin, it says, at the house of God. It must begin at the house of God. But when I start reading it, verse 12, it says, beloved. So Paul is really talking about, he says, beloved. He's talking about he loves the people. And he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. So trials will come, fiery trials, which will try us. But this is nothing strange. When you see the world today and you see how they don't like God, and when you have God in your heart, they will not like you. They will not. And they will not like your speech. And so he fairly says, but rejoice. But rejoice. And many times, when we are in a difficult time, we don't find it well to rejoice when somebody is not looking well upon us, when we are bad spoken of. As further he goes on to say, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, he suffered, he died. You know, he got a crown of thorns put upon his head. He got, you know, whipped. That was the physical suffering of this world. And that's what we also can very much expect. And he says, and that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So that when his glory shall be revealed, that we have exceeding joy. That we can, you know, see our Savior, and that we can suffer with him, or having be able to also suffer. He says further, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. He is glorified. He's been opened up, or, you know, really put expressed out there. And then it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. So these things do not have that. You know, as he said, let none of you suffer this. You know, it talks about a murderer. So if you hate someone, I really want to tell you, let it not be. Let it not be, because that's also murder in your heart already. Let's not steal. Meaning, well, you can take time from your workplace where you say, oh, well, I don't have to do this. No, but there's all kinds of things what you can steal from. And let us also not be, as like you said, an evil doer, somebody that does evil things, or a busybody, somebody that is goes around, talks about other people. And so it goes on to say, and if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And so then he goes on to say, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. So the trials or the judgment becomes here. That's the house of God to see, okay, where do we as Christians stand, as the churchgoers? Where do we stand in this all? So there will be a trial going on. And then it goes on to say, and if it begin, if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Well, we realize already what that will do and where they will appear or where they will be. And then he goes on to say, and if, verse 18, he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, I looked up, scarcely be saved, almost not saved, or very, very trial to see if actually they will be saved. Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls. So again, an encouragement from to us from God's word. What Peter's saying, says then, seeing, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator, God himself. To tremble before God. This God is not a God, just any God, that is just standing or having a little, you know, whatever, little tree or whatever it is. It's not just any God. It's not silver and gold. It's a God that created everything that's from eternity, always been, always will be. This is not just any God. And when I'm reading the Exodus and when the Israelites, they came before the mount and they saw him and it was thundering and lightning. And he was speaking. The people were afraid because he showed a little bit of power and they were afraid. And for us to know such God, we gotta treat this God way better than I think we do. Way better. Way more concerned about how we live our life. We live it. As I see that we have experienced such prosperity and material things, and we have such freedom with convenience. Such freedom with convenience. And then when these conveniences go away, it tries us. Then we're almost like we're suffering already. But that's not the suffering he's talking about. It's not our convenience. See, we put such convenience in all these things when we're such debt load we put on ourselves, and then we put such that it's convenient to us. That's not the trial he's talking about. He's talking to us about the, you know, judgment, the trial that will come when you will and me will be Christians and we will stand up for the what he says. What he says. That we will stand up. It doesn't matter if it's a family member or who it is. We will stand up and say, look, it's wrong. It's sin. Too often we say, well, don't want to do it. Why? Because it's, you know, it may get me in trouble. As Christians, when we stand, and this is our word, and the faith of God is within us, and in Jesus Christ, as Jesus, he was compassionate towards them, but he didn't give in. Say, well, okay, well, it's not that bad. If it's sin, it's sin. And that's the kind of judgment we're going to get. And like I said, we've seen such convenience. People have loaded up their debt so much. So what do we do now? What do we do now? God actually says in the book, he says, pay back the people that you owe. And we ought to do that. I want to go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8 is where Jesus is speaking. Verse 18 to 22. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him and gave commandment to depart unto the other side, and a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And then Jesus makes a comment here, and he says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. So he was making very clear that, you know, even the foxes have holes and the birds have nests of the air. They have a dwelling place. But the Son of Man, he has no place to lay his head. The convenience wasn't there. And so we see that, what does it take to follow God? Lay off the things of this earth. And that doesn't mean that we have to sell everything and just let it go. But the thing is our heart has to let everything go. And that Jesus Christ is the only ruler of that heart. He goes on to say again further, he says, and another disciple said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. He says, suffer me to go bury my father. That many times meant one thing. That meant there was an inheritance to be had. There was money to be had. And then Jesus, he says, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. He was very clear to say that the message is this. This world should not hold you back in any part to follow Jesus Christ. Nothing. And if it does, you need to get rid of that. If something holding you back in this world, you need to get rid of that. That's very clear speaking on Jesus' behalf here. And he goes on to say, and we want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to read a number of verses there. And this is what we ought to do. Verse 24 and on, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider this. To consider one another to provoke unto love. And love is God, and that we towards God, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There was a gentleman who was saying, you know, there's people coming to Christ, and so often we just leave them alone. We don't have daily contact with them. But he too, he says he believes that there was a time where, you know, they came together daily for those that needed, that they were protected. There was a protection. The church would protect, and that's why he says, do not forsake this assembly. With these newcomers, new believers, they need that. And there might also be some other ones. They need that. Especially when you see the day approaching. Then he says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So again, you know, seeing that there may some people, they may just willfully go back into it. But then further he says, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary, those that are against, it will devour them. As he says in verse 28, he says, that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. And then he continues to say, he says, and how much more, and how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who has trodden under foot the Son of God. So I think this is very important that we have a very good understanding about this, that when we have had Jesus Christ and when we have had that redemption and that blood has saved us, and we cheapen it, we make it cheap. We tread it under our feet as like it's nothing. He says, it's very clear, he says, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy? See, in Moses' law, there was two or three witnesses. They died without mercy. Absolutely no mercy. That was it. So, but he's also going further and he says, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. He was cleansed. So he counted the covenant, has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. There's a question in this. So how important do we think God's grace is? The blood that saved us. How important? Because he further says, he's for we know him that has said, vengeance. So what's not, vengeance isn't ours. But he says, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. So it's so important that we live a life of holiness. Because God and Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, talks about he's a holy God. And when he's holy, we ought to also be holy. When he talks about a light, he talks about holiness. It doesn't talk about some, oh, I can just do what I want. No, that's not what he's talking about. And so here too, he says, and then verse 31, he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So I want to remind all of us that today, that when we are in the faith, that we have that faith. Verse 37 and 38, it says, and yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. So Jesus Christ, yet he will come in a little while, and he will not tarry. He will come. He says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But verse 39, it says, but we, me and you, are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So we ought not be the one to draw back, but we live in faith. And then chapter 11, it goes into the faith chapter, in believing. And then I want to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and it talks about watchful servants. Starting at verse 35, watchful servants. He says, let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. Lights burning. And ye yourselves, like unto a man that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately, because they know him. Because many times when you see a stranger at the door or whatever, you may not open the door right away. Not sure what's going on here. Especially at night, it may be dark. And then he says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come the second watch, or come the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. So those are blessed. And this know, that if a good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And that was, I think, the first passage that I read already this morning. It talked about he comes as a thief in the night. But we have duty. The duties of Christ's ministries or ministers. Goes on in verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that fearful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, to eat and to drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at that hour when he is not aware, will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him with the portion of the unbelievers. And what that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself whether they did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To him to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so here, As I listened to someone that was speaking on Iran, and was speaking, saying that how Iran was a country that was flourishing in Christianity, or there was, most people were coming to Christianity in that country at a very fast rate. They were tired of the Islam religion. what they promised them that didn't happen. Then the question was asked, why do they grow and why do they believe all that was in Acts, the first church? Why did they believe that? Then the man says, little knowledge and a lot of obedience. Then the question was asked, well, okay, if that was the case, what about North America or the Western churches? A lot of knowledge and little obedience. So do we realize how much will be required of us? We have lots of knowledge. How many Bibles do we not carry in our houses? How much instructions do we not have? There's so much. But why is there not more obedience? Is it because of our convenience? Have we gotten so used to sitting on nice chairs that it's so soft? Or what is it? Why can't we have church? Why can't we forgive one another, as I said, provoke one another to love? Why can't we do that? You know, we had some difficulties in Altona Church. And we worked with it. And there's been forgiveness. There's been forgiveness. And I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord for that. But God is asking us. Church, God is asking us to be faithful, to be obedient. And we realize there's going to be no compromise. Jesus is not going to compromise. He isn't. So we must be very alert of knowing that if we have the book and we have the instructions, there's no excuse. And I encouraged the church of Altona, I encouraged them. It says, look, take the book, read it through this year. Read it through all the way. Not just the New Testament, not just the Old Testament. Read it. And if you can't read, guess what? Most of us have one of these. And you can download apps. Read it, get the book, read it for you, read. Get instructions. Because if we have the knowledge and we're not going to do anything about it, we're going to pay for it. We are. Brothers and sisters, it's time. If there be a shaking, let it be a shaking in us. That all the chaff will be shaken away, as Psalms talks about. When we do wheat, the chaff goes out to the back. Let it go out to the back. Let us have pure faith. Pure faith in Jesus Christ. Like I said, there will be no compromise. There will be divisions. I realize that not everybody is going to accept that. Not everybody accepts true preaching. When you speak of this book, not everybody accepts that. But we can't go according to that. I want to see everyone. I want to see myself in heaven one day. But if myself and these men here will not tell you the truth, and if you do not tell the truth to someone else, who's accountable? All of us. There's some younger people here today. They need to be taught. And you know what? If we're not going to be witnesses to these young people, who's accountable? Each can point to yourself. So I really want to encourage the church today, as I come in love, to tell you in love, let's be very aware of where we are at today. Take a moment each day and check where your thoughts are. Where your thoughts are. Take inventory. Take inventory. Don't do it once a year. Take inventory every day. Challenge yourself. I challenge you. Challenge yourself. Where are we in our faith? Is it just shallow? Or are we deep already rooted? Let us pray. You're a good God, Father, in heaven. And I know we are your children. And I know we have the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I know we fail. But Lord, I pray today that everyone have come here today that they want to listen, that they will hear this, that the Spirit today, and they will hearken unto it, and they will move on it. That they will move on it. And that we can bring the gospel to the people of the world. And that we will hold nothing back. So, Father, I thank you for the book that you've given us, the Bible, instructions. And, Lord, I pray that you'll give us all strength to read the book. The book that has brought us salvation, that we'll all work our own salvation with trembling and fear. That it's only you, God, that works within us. To bring salvation. And I pray all have it. If they don't, I pray that they will hear it today. And Lord, and if they don't know how to do it, and they need some prayer, I ask that you would help them come forward. On my right, there's a number of men there. On my left, there's a number of men. Myself, Lord, there's many. And I pray that that person will have, their heart will be shaken. And that they will want to give their life over all the way, not part of it. So, Father, again, we plead, help us. Help us to be the servants you want us to be. The amount of knowledge we have, that we also have the amount of obedience. So, again, Father, I pray for the lost sinners in the world today. And if anybody that's lost here today, that I pray for him too or her. I pray that you will, you know, awaken. So again, Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the blood that you spilled on the cross, Jesus. Thank you for going to the grave and paying for our debt. And thank you for being alive today. And thank you that you went to prepare a place for us. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, as we pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon us here today, and that everyone will have received the Holy Spirit, and that the fire, and Lord, that you'll go with us wherever we go. Thank you, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, don't forget to pray. Pray that you will pray for this Aaron and Margaret Ham. And so let us just again kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless the prayers of them prayed. Amen.
From the Blue Book, 342, Take Time to Be Holy.
Song, beautiful ending. Time to be holy. It's today or this day or this, you know, that we will spend time to be holy. I want to just read two verses here yet from John 14 before I close. Verse 26 and 27, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, or let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you for coming. I want to ask that, you know, walk in the Lord, and so that you will be at peace. And so I just want to yet bless you with a benediction. Let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in peace. Remember that the Lord loves you.